going to pick up. We left off last week. I'm going to read the scripture area, pray. Miss Natasha is going to sing, and we'll get into the scripture area. Children, you are dismissed. So adults, let's go ahead and stand as we can let the children out and also take your Bibles. John chapter 4, we started this last week talking about getting into worship, amen. So John chapter 4, take your Bibles and stand with me if you would. And we're going to read in chapter number 4. Children, you are dismissed to children's church, so you can meet right up front here, ages 4 through 9. 4 through 9, you are dismissed. The rest of us are at the Gospel of John chapter number 4. We're in the worship. If you would look over on my left side, you see 1, 2, 3. We've already talked about the other two ships, relationship and stewardship. Now, last week, we started talking about worship. And let me say this, I trust that you came prepared to worship God. If you didn't, you're not going to feel good as this message goes on. Amen. But I hope that through the course of this message, you might see something that can help you worship better. Amen. None of us worship God the way we should as of yet. We will when we see him, when we get our glorified bodies, worship him as he desires. But until that point now, we've got to give him worship through the Holy Spirit's power by crucifying the flesh and letting the Spirit take control. Amen. John chapter 4, verse number 1. I'm going to start reading and I'll have you join in a little bit down the way. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, smart lady, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And read verses 23 and 24 with me. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. It's my prayer today that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that he will speak to you today. He is still the Savior. He will always be the Savior, and he's still saving sinners. This woman is a sinner, come to Jesus, and Jesus is going to describe to her worship, but also point out some things that may be hindering her worship. And as we abide in the worship today, I want us to be sure that we are coming to give God the best that we have to offer Him. Why? He truly is worthy of our best. If you're without Christ today, it is my prayer that you would come to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Father, bless now the message today. Give me clarity of thought. Lord, give me a concise and a compact and a compassionate heart that I may preach, thus saith the Lord today. Here's a good illustration of someone coming to meet God, but not prepared to meet Almighty God in the flesh. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to the message today as we look at another avenue and aspect of abiding in the worship. We ought to worship you. You want us to worship you. And Lord, I pray that as we come to offer worship, our worship is sincere, it's in spirit, and it's in truth. Thank you for loving us. Lord, save lost people today. Lord, that sinner that is hanging in the balance, arrest their attention, arouse their interest to the things of God. They may see there is an eternity that awaits them. They'll either spend it in heaven with you as a saved person or in hell as a lost person. And Lord, you desire for no one to go to that place called hell. Work in our minds, work in our hearts. Help us to see what true worship is. We may give it to you because you truly are deserving of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Miss Natasha has our special this morning.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it called your love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer to the cross where thou hast died. Nearer to your precious divine. Draw me nearer. Draw me nearer. Consecrate me now to your service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer to the precious bleeding side. Draw me nearer. Draw me nearer. Till I cross the narrow sea,
Thank you, Natasha. That should be our prayer and our desire that God would draw us nearer to Him. Amen. And by the way, you are as near or as close to God as you want to be. Amen. I got one. Amen. You are as close to God as you desire to be. He will not push anybody back that wants to come and worship Him and get closer to Him, but He does have some conditions to that closeness. Amen. And so we praise God for that special music. Amen. Draw me near. Well, we're going to pick up. We left off last week. And let me say this. I really appreciate the way you have responded. Sunday night folks were here. They were on time. They were in service. Wednesday night folks were here. They were on time. They're in the service again this morning. You were here. You're on time and in the service. And that really makes a huge difference when the preacher doesn't have to stand here and start saying, okay, it's time to worship God. Okay, can we all come into the auditorium? Calling all Christians, calling all Christians. It makes a difference when you don't have to summon Christians to come to the house of God and come into the auditorium. Say, preacher, but when we come in, there's going to be conviction. Well, what do you expect? Yes, if we're going to worship God, he said, you've got to worship me in spirit and in truth. Amen. And so we're talking about worship, and I just wanted to make sure that I commended you on that because it really is a blessing. Let me read you a quote from Adam Clark in his commentary about worshiping in spirit and in truth. He says this. He says, as all creatures were made by him, speaking of Almighty God, so all owe him obedience and reverence. Notice that all owe him obedience and reverence. But to be acceptable to this infinite spirit, the worship must be of a spiritual nature, must spring from the heart through the influence of the Holy Ghost, and it must be in truth. Not only in sincerity, but performed according to that divine revelation which he has given men of himself. In other words, he's saying if we're going to worship God in spirit and in truth, it's got to be the God, the way that God wants it to be done. By the way, hold your finger there and go over to Acts chapter 17 real quick with me. Show you an example of people not worshiping in spirit and in truth. Acts chapter 17, as we studied the book of Acts, we came across this area, Acts chapter 17. And Paul here is in Athens, Greece, and he has the opportunity to talk to some people there, and they're lost, and they're trying to worship. And notice what it says in verse number 22 of Acts 17. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. By the way, superstitious there doesn't mean what you and I think it means. It means to be religious. They were religious about this thing. He says, for I passed by and beheld your devotions. You're giving something to God. He said, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. In this area, every God had its place. There was a God for this and a God for that and a God for this. And there were all these gods there. And in case they would anger a particular God that they forgot, they put an altar up there and said, this is to the unknown God, because we didn't want him to be upset because we've got so many. Don't want to leave out any God. And so they set up one and said, to the unknown God. Notice what Paul said. Whom therefore ye, what's that word? Ignorantly worship. By the way, ignorantly is not a bad word. It just means without knowledge. So someone says you're just ignorant. Yeah, I know we take offense to that, but it just means that you're without knowledge. You could be ignorant to how cars work. You could be ignorant to how the rules of tennis go. You could be ignorant to how the rules of hockey go. I was, went to a hockey game, didn't have a clue. The only thing I understood was fight. And you go to a hockey match, you fight. Amen. That's the only rule I understand. If you don't fight, I don't understand anything else. Amen. And I was ignorant to that. He says, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. And so the Athenians were there worshiping ignorantly. And by the way, yes, even good, well-meaning Christians can ignorantly worship God. Somebody say amen. You know it's true and I know it's true. We can worship God in a haphazard way that he never described. Amen. They wanted to make sure there was no stone unturned in the Old Testament. And so it was laid down how they were to come into the temple, how the priest was to go into the holiest of holies. And if he went in wrong, he wasn't coming out right. Matter of fact, he wasn't coming out at all. He died in there. And he was supposed to put some bells around the fringe. So if the bells stopped, that means God killed him. Oh, let me change that. He killed himself. Amen. He hung himself by not obeying God's instructions. And so we can ignorantly worship God, but God's given us a manual called the Bible on how to worship him. And by the way, he told the Samaritan woman, got to be in spirit and truth. Amen. One thing I've noticed, a lot of good, well-meaning, fundamental Bible preaching churches have a lot of truth, but they have no spirit. You go in there, they are as dead as a cemetery. Amen. I mean, you go in, preacher's up there shucking the corn. I mean, he's getting with it, the folks like this. Won't give a holy grunt. Only thing they give holy is a snore. Somebody wake up that brother. That's about all they get. And you get into some churches, man, they got a whole bunch of spirit, but no truth. And I mean, they're bouncing off the walls, slapping people upside the head with oil and putting it on them, pow, and they're falling out and they're gyrating and doing all this and falling out. You're thinking, whoa, what happened? Oh, they got the spirit of God in them. If that's the spirit of God, it would be bad on my leg and bad on my back. Amen. And I don't think God would want that for me in my condition. And so if you're going to cause me to gyrate, heal me first. Amen. And so we've got the two spectrums here. Some have all spirit and no truth, and some have all truth and no spirit. And God said, hey, Jesus said, if you're going to worship, it's got to be in spirit and in truth. You need both. Amen. God doesn't want some dead orthodoxy religion. Neither does he want some haphazardly out of control spiritual whatever. Amen. By the way, I've been in both churches. I've been in the ones where they gyrate and fall out. And I've been in the one, they're just a cemetery and you hear the crickets. I remember I went to a church in New Jersey and I said amen and shocked the preacher. Remember that, honey, in New Jersey? And I was on the, and he was shocking the corn. I said, amen. He said, thank you. Thank you. You could tell he hadn't been amen in quite some time, and you can look at the congregation and tell they hadn't uttered a amen in their lifetime. And so worship. We talked about relationship first and foremost. I've got to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I must be born again. If I don't have a relationship, I don't have the Spirit of God. And so I can't worship in spirit at all. And so when I'm born again, I get into the relationship. And once I get into the relationship, we began talking about stewardship. I'm supposed to give to God that which belongs to God, tithes and offerings. I'm supposed to do that. And now we're in the worship. And by the way, giving is a part of worship. Throughout the course of our text today, and John, go back over to John chapter number 4. We're going to be looking at this woman at the well. And we're going to be talking about some principles that can hinder our worship. Principles that can hinder our worship. How many of you came to church before ready to worship? I mean, you ready to give God your all, and something happened that hindered your worship. Somebody was in your parking spot. Somebody was in your pew that you normally sat in. Somebody used up all the toilet paper in the stall. Amen. And you lost all your spirituality. You said, glory to God, I came to worship and got no toilet paper. Came to worship and you took my space and parking. Come to worship and somebody's sitting in my pew. Well, I don't see your name on it. Now, if you want to pay for one, we'll gladly get you one. Amen. Somebody got my hymn book. How do you know it was yours? Somebody took the last envelope and didn't put any back, so I'm not giving today. Well, there we go. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Or you get ready to get out of the car. Okay, let's go. Everybody got our Bibles? Mommy, I forgot my Bible at home. And there goes your worship. Well, Mommy, I spilled some milk in the car. What are you doing drinking milk in the car? Well, you told me to finish it before we left home. And there we go. We can't worship. Mommy, I got to run in my stockings. Mommy, I got some makeup on me. Mommy, 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 Mommy. You know they don't ask Dad, and Dad say, well, we're going anyway. I don't care how you go. We're going anyway. Got a big spill on the front of you? What happened?
foolish drinking milk in the car. We don't care. Ladies care about that stuff. That's a reflection on me. And we say it's a reflection on me too, but that's a bad reflection. Amen. Men often don't care. We're going to worship God. I don't care how your hair looks. I don't know how your face looks. I don't care what you got on. Pants too high, pants on back, or shoes on wrong feet. We're going to worship God. Amen. Men don't care oftentimes. We're going to worship. We're going to the house of God. And we start quoting verses. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord with a messed up face, with the shoes on the wrong foot, with the shoes on, the pants on backwards. We're going to worship the Lord. I don't care how you look. It's your fault anyway. But those things affect the worship. And we come in and we I can't worship God now because I'm thinking about Johnny or Billy or Bob or Sue. Jesus goes down through here and begins to detail to this woman what true worship is. Let me give you the definition. I gave it last week. Worship means to prostrate oneself in homage or to do reverence. It means to honor, praise, and adore someone who is worthy of such honor. By the way, is God worthy of our praise? Yes, he is. Is Jesus Christ worthy of our praise? Yes, he is. Originally, the word was worth-ship, W-R-T-H, worth-ship, to show that the one being honored was worthy of praise or assigning to God his true worth. And by the way, we said this last week, what is God's true worth? And you show it in how you worship him. You show it in how you worship him. Now, just think about this. If God were literally and physically sitting right next to you, how would you worship today? If God were literally and physically sitting right here on this chair, what would you do? For some of you, you put your iPad down. You put your iPhone down. For some of you, you probably pick your Bible up. For some of you, you probably wake up and know that God can do something to those that fall asleep in service. For some of you, you probably say, I wonder if he knows that I'm in sin today. Yeah, he knows. Yeah, he knows. I wonder if he's going to give me that scowl like, you didn't come to worship me today. If he were literally and physically sitting right here, how would that affect your worship today? That is the way we should come in every time. Because he is here. He is here. Not in bodily form, but he's here in spirit. And your view of God and God's omnipotence, omnipresence, and omniscience will view how you come to worship. And all of us struggle with this because we are in the flesh. Amen. Our highest motive to attend church should be to worship Almighty God. Yes, we learn something. Yes, we get instructed. Yes, we fellowship. Yes, we serve. But there's nothing more important during worship services than our focus on our Lord, not our circumstances, situations, people, or problems. Do we have problems? Yes. Do we have situations? Yes. Do we have circumstances? Yes. Are there people? Yes, 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 and yes. When we come to worship, God should get everything. He should get our all. I mentioned last week, Satan fights against our worship, and he does. Let me read you another comment that Henry Blackaby mentioned in his devotions, Experiencing God Day by Day. It's entitled, Prepare to Meet Your God. It says, you cannot spend day after day in the world without its affecting your mind and your will and your heart. Somebody say amen. You know, the world will start affecting your mind and your heart and your will. Some folks can quote commercials, beer commercials, better than they can quote the Bible. Some folks can quote sneaker advertisements and NBA advertisements and football advertisements better than they can quote the Bible. Amen. Some folks know the Coke commercial and the 7-Up commercial better than they know the Bible. I'm just saying. Some of you can quote the Verizon and the Sprint commercials better than you can quote the Bible. Can you hear me now? Even though he's changed to Sprint now. We still remember that, but we cannot remember Jesus wept. One of the shortest scriptures in the Bible. But I can remember. Can you hear me now? I'm just saying. Henry Blackaby goes on to say this. Doesn't take long to become disoriented to the ways of God after spending time in the world. The world has a dulling effect on your spiritual sensibilities. God established the Sabbath so his people in Israel could take an entire day to focus on him and his will for them after spending 6 days in the world. He goes on to say this: how do you prepare yourself for times of worship? Say, preacher, well, I put on my clothes and I wash my face. Not talking about that. Or, preacher, I made sure I put my shoes on. Not talking about that. Or, preacher, I made sure I drive the church. Not talking about that. We're talking about how do you prepare this person right here? The heart. How do you prepare for your times of worship? What fills your mind the night before worship? Often the last thing you put into your mind at night is still on your mind the next morning. Genuine worship requires spiritual preparation and exercise. Let me read that again. Genuine worship requires spiritual exercise and preparation. Your experiences of worship reflect your personal spiritual preparation. Prepare yourself now for your next encounter with God. In other words, you prepare to come to the house of God spiritually the same way you would prepare to go to your job, or the way you would go to school, or the way you would go to the grocery store. Any place you go, you prepare to get there. You don't just show up to go, oh, look, I'm at Fry's. Well, I guess I'll go shopping. Oh, look, I came to Walmart. Well, I guess I'll go shop. Oh, I'm at the Pima County Fair. Well, I guess I'll go in. You prepare to get there. And you prepare to go there. And you do certain things to get there. Worshiping Almighty God is the same. Here's a woman that's coming to the well to draw water, something routine that she always does. And she's about to have an encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, except she just doesn't know it yet. By the way, do we know we're coming to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today? We do. Have we prepared to meet with him? We should have. I don't care if something did hinder you in the car, or something hindered you when you got in, or someone did have your pew, find another one. Someone had your hymn book, get another one. There's not an offering envelope, get another one. I don't care what happened. The kids had their clothes on backwards, go to the bathroom and change them. They got the shoes on wrong, go change them. Their hair is not combed, comb it. Glad I don't have none. Glad I don't have any. We're going to look at this woman here. And just look at some things here. We won't finish today. We'll finish up by God's grace next week. But I want to kind of look at some things that hindered her and meeting the Lord and why she could not worship in spirit and truth. And all the while, I want us to be asking this question: what hinders my worship? What hinders my worship? Notice down here in verse number 1, the Bible says this is the course of the Savior. The course of the Savior. It says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. In other words, what that's saying is that the Pharisees heard that Jesus was baptizing more people, although Jesus didn't baptize anybody. Can you imagine the hierarchy of confusion that would be there if Jesus actually baptized somebody? I was baptized by Jesus. Well, the preacher just baptized me. Guess my baptism doesn't count for much. Jesus didn't baptize anybody. But could you imagine if people were actually baptized by Jesus? Ah, Jesus laid me. He took me underwater for 32 seconds. Well, that ain't nothing. He held me under for 30 minutes just to prove a miracle. When I came up, I was still alive. Can you imagine if people were baptized, the stories that would be out there? I mean, Jesus kept me under some muddy water. You couldn't even see my face. When I came up, I had blotches all over my face. They was all gone. The stories that people would tell. Jesus said, I'm not going to even give you guys that liberty to start making up stories. I'm not going to baptize disciples. You baptize them, amen. And then that was still a controversy. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Paul said that was still a problem. Because some folks can't get past some things in worship. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Notice verse number 13 when it comes to the superiority complex in churches. Verse number 13. Matter of fact, go back up to verse number 12. Now this I say, that every one of you say, if I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name, and I baptized also the house of Stephanus, besides I know not whether I baptized any other, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Amen. Hey, if Jesus did baptize somebody, we would have that same thing going on right now. I got baptized by Jesus. Amen. By the way, you still have that. I got baptized by Paul Chapel. I got baptized by John R. Rice. Well, I got baptized by this person over here, well, I got baptized by Paul Chappell. Who cares who you got baptized by? You got baptized, right? Amen. So Jesus had to deal with this issue. Another thing down there, that this is not a part of the outline, but it says down there in verse number 1 of John chapter 4, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard Jesus' name. Anytime you hear something, it's probably going to be wrong. They heard that Jesus baptized more. And the Bible clearly clears that up. Jesus didn't baptize anybody. But that's what they heard. Hearsay can ruin your fellowship in a heartbeat. You start to walk through the house of God and, well, I heard somebody said this about you. Well, who cares? Leave that gossip alone. Well, I heard somebody said this about that person and there goes the scuttlebutt. And I heard Pastor really got a fake leg underneath that boot. I heard Pastor wears a wig and he takes it off when it's time to preach. Who cares what you heard? Hearsay will get you in trouble every time. Well, I heard their hair Harris wig. That's fake. Who cares? Well, I heard that she got false teeth. Who cares? And we bring that stuff into the house of God. And you got people walking around. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Fine. Doing what?
How you doing? I'm doing fine. Don't be coming and being fake. I don't want fake worship. Be who you are. And be who God called you to be. But he said they heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples, although Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples. He left Judea and departed into Galilee. Verses 1, 2, and 3, you find here the Pharisees heard some things here. And so Jesus left to avoid conflict with the Pharisees. If Jesus had to baptize, it would have probably been a disaster. And so he goes to Samaria. Notice verse number 4. And he must needs go through Samaria. That was the quickest route, but also God had a preordained appointment with a Samaritan woman. By the way, let me give you this. The day you got saved, God had a preordained appointment with you. And he came knocking on your door. And you were either going to answer it or not let him in. I'm so glad February 3rd, 1991, I heard the knock on my heart. And I opened up the door. Whosoever will, the Bible says, amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I saw myself as lost February 3rd, 1991. The Holy Spirit began to work on me. And I went to try and prove my righteousness. And the Bible said, son, all your righteousness as filthy rags before me. You need to be born again. Except the man be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. I bowed my wicked head February 3rd, 1991. And I got saved. And I got the Spirit of God. And I got the book of truth. And I began to learn how to worship him in spirit and in truth. He had an appointment with this dear lady, and he had to go through Samaria, not just the course of the Savior. By the way, sometimes we need to avoid some people, places, and problems in order to effectively sail in the worship. Some things you're just going to have to avoid. By the way, I don't look at the news Sunday morning. It is too depressing. I don't look at the news on Sunday morning. Now, I watch it at night, but I'm not going to look at it in the morning. I try very hard not to answer my cell phone or text messages on Sunday morning. Unless it's from my assistant pastor or my deacons or somebody in the church got an issue going on. I try not to. I don't have my phone in the pulpit. I don't have it on me. I don't want anything to distract my worship. Now, maybe you say, well, preacher, that won't bother me. Now, it bothers me. And if it bothers me, I can't worship that way. So I've got to get rid of it. So I want to put that away. I want to get as much done as I can before it's time to worship God. Because when it's time to worship God, I don't want anything to get in the way of my worship to Almighty God. I don't answer my phone. I don't watch the news. I don't do any of that stuff. I don't call and chit-chat on Sunday mornings. Why? I want to devote my time to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anything wrong with calling people on Sunday morning? Nothing wrong with it at all. Anything wrong? Watching the news. Nothing wrong with it at all. But it hinders my worship. It is my worship. And so I don't do it. The course of the Savior, he must needs go through Samaria in order to effectively sell the worship. Some people, places, and problems have to be avoided until you finish worshiping and get the mind of God on your situation. Jesus made a special trip for this one. You and I were that one that he made a special trip to worship with the day we got saved so that we could worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Number 2, notice the conversation of the Savior. The conversation of the Savior. And I want us to notice some hindrances that we're going to find out down here. Verse number 5 says, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour. Yes, Jesus did get weary. Jesus did weep. Jesus did sorrow. He had feelings. He had compassion. He did have emotions about him. We look at some of well, Jesus is just happy with the kids. Ha, ha, ha. Bring the little kid to me. I'll come and kill you. Jesus loved the little children. It's more than that. Or we look at it, he's just condemning the Pharisees. You whited sepulchers, you hypocrites, you generation of vipers. And we see those two differences. But Jesus here was tired. He was fatigued. In his flesh, he was still 100% God, but 100% man. And he was tired. And notice the conversation of the Savior. And I want us to pick out with me some of the hindrances to worship, or why some can't worship when they come into the house of God. Number one, maybe it's because it's predictable. It's predictable. Notice something about verse number 7. It says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. By the way, later on, she says, give me this water so I don't have to come back here and draw. You know what that means? She was predictable. She went every day to draw water. She went at the same time to draw water. She went to the same well to draw water. It was predictable for her to go there. But guess what? Jesus Christ is anything but predictable. And when you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, it's not predictable. It's anything but predictable. And she's going as she always went. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, something she always did time and time again. And for you and I, worship can become routine. It can become ritual. It can become run-of-the-mill. This is the way we go to church, go to church, go to church. This is the way we go to church so early in the morning. This is the way we get our hymn book, get our hymn book, get our hymn book. This is the way we get our hymn book early in the morning. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. This is the message. Get right with God. Get right with God. Get right with God. This is the message. Get right with God early in the morning. This is where we come to the altar. Come to the altar. Come to the altar. This is where we come to the altar. Get right with God. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. This is the way we exit the church. Exit the church. Exit the church. This is the way we exit the church so early in the morning. Woo! We worship God today. Did you really? It becomes routine. It becomes predictable. We know the Bible's going to be preached. We know we're going to sing. We know an invitation is going to be given. So let's go ahead and bow the knee, as insincere as we are anyway. And we leave the same way we came in. What is something that I always pray for Shangri-La Baptist Church? That we leave differently than we came in. Don't leave the way you came in. Don't leave the same way. God is always wanting to do something in your life and in my life when we come into his presence. We don't leave the same way. Nobody came to the presence of God left the same way. Nobody. So he preached, some of them didn't get right with God, but they were illuminated by the light of life. And they didn't leave the same way. Her worship here, this routine is predictable. And something she did so routinely can filter over into our worship as well. And we're not prepared to meet God. When it comes to meeting with our Savior in worship, it should never be predictable. God, do something new in my life. God, do something new in the presence of your people today. God, do something special today. It should not be predictable. God is never predictable. He's always doing something new and unusual to what we expect. I don't know about you. I am always trying to find someone that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. And they'll let me, I'll share the gospel with them. Pastor Nelson gave that testimony. It's something I've always tried to do. Hey, if you're done right now, you sure you're going to heaven? And some people don't like that. They don't like that. Well, I'm never going back to that church. They get personal. Well, hell is real personal. I'd rather interrupt you and ruffle your feathers for 5 minutes than have you for eternity in hell. And I want to find that one of the most amazing things happened to me. Brother Bob came, 93 years old. And then we went in my office and started talking. And lo and behold, I asked Bob that same question. Bob, you know, hey, 93, hey, you know, are you prepared to meet God? And I was able to open up the Bible and share with him how God loved him and how he could be saved. In my office, Bob bowed his head and asked the Lord to save him. But he got a smile on his face now. Amen. 93 years old. Hey, why? I came to worship and I want to see God do something special. I want to see him do something in somebody's life. I don't want to just come and leave and not see God do anything. Because when God shows up, God wants to work. Unless there's sin in the camp, Brother Neil. God wants to work. He wanted to work for Israel. He wanted to conquer Ai. But there was sin in the camp. And sometimes people don't get saved because there's sin in the camp. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Just check your own sin. We come in with sin. We sing with sin. We come to the altar with sin. And we leave with the same sin. We have not gotten right with God. We have not worshipped. We have not met with God. I want to see God do something when I come. I don't know what you want to see. If I'm going to worship, it cannot be predictable. But often we come in predictable, not expecting God to work in our lives, not expecting Him to do anything, just predictable. Here's a quick fix to that. Invite as many people as you can this upcoming week and expect somebody to be in your body. Hello? You know why some of us don't expect God to do nothing? Because we ain't did nothing all week. Ooh, preacher. You get out of here, my bad way. Amen. You stop throwing stuff at me. Some of you don't expect God to do anything because you haven't done anything all week. You haven't invited a soul to church. You haven't given out one tract. You haven't talked to anybody about Jesus Christ. And then on Sunday, you want some visitors to come. How many did you invite? I'm just saying that's why our worship is hindered. We're not expecting God to do anything because we haven't done anything. And so we're not looking forward to anything. Every Sunday when I stand up here, Brother Watson, I don't know about you, I'm wondering who is it that needs to be saved today? Who is it that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Who is it that's religious but not righteous? Who is it that's depending on their pedigree and their heritage than Jesus Christ? Who in here is depending upon their baptism and not Jesus Christ? Who? And I'm wondering and I'm waiting and I'm wooing by the scriptures. Lord, may the word of God go forth. I want someone to walk the aisle. I want someone to get saved. I'm expecting Him to work. I want to meet with Him. And I'm looking to see something. I want to see God work. But now we're not expecting God to do anything. The only thing we're doing, the invitation, is He walking out there? Oh, they must be mixing there. And they see him, look at that. Oh, and they think all these people, they mixing. Oh, they would think live for 5 seconds. They didn't even think of God. Look at that.
Every head's supposed to be bowed, every eye's supposed to be closed. You're supposed to be dealing with your own sin. But you've been busy looking at Sally and Bob and Sue. Woo, look at them. They even weeping too. Oh, boy, they must be in real big sin. Oh, their husband must do something. Their wife must do something. Their kids must be wicked. Oh, look at them. Oh. No, you deal with your own sin. We can't worship. We worry about everybody else. Why don't you worry about your own sin? Why don't you worry about what you're not doing for God? What am I saying? This woman came here. She was predictable. Every time she came here, it was predictable. Folks, I went to church. I was predictable. But February 3rd, 1991, it was anything but predictable. I wasn't expecting to hear the word of God to be expanded in my sight. I wasn't expecting for the Holy Spirit to be convicting my heart. I wasn't expecting for that man to give the invitation. And I wasn't expecting to be drawn like I was. But guess what? The word of God was preached. The Spirit of God was working. The invitation was given. And I was drawn. And I did get saved. That is not predictable. Say, preacher, why is it not? I didn't plan on getting saved February 3rd, 1991. I was going to get saved when I was 86 years old. Had it down already. 27 was not in the picture of me getting saved. I had sin to do. Don't look at me like that. Y'all had sin to do too. You didn't want to get saved. She was predictable. Sometimes you and I have got to get away from the predictable and get to the preparation. God, I want to meet with you. Let me show you a second thing here. We're going to get ready to close. Worship can be hindered because it can become predictable. But number two, worship can be hindered by particulars. Particulars. Notice verse number 8. His disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith, let me show you the right verse, 8 and verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Here this woman comes and she's about to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. She's coming in a predictable fashion. And then when she meets God in a dialogue through Jesus Christ, she begins to raise some particulars. And by the way, some people can be hindered by particulars. What are some of these particulars here? Many can't worship because of details. She brings up several details as to why she shouldn't be conversing with Christ, who is the King of Kings. Number one, she said, you're a Jew. In other words, you're religious. Notice what he says down there. How is it that thou being a Jew, speaking of the religious aspect of what Jews do, amen? A Jew, he's religious. Some people say, I can't come here to church, I'm Catholic. I can't come here to church, I'm Methodist. I can't come to your church because I'm Presbyterian. I can't come because I'm Buddhist. I can't come because I say, look, you can come. We welcome any and everybody. As long as you're not coming to disrupt the services, you're more than welcome. And I'll ask this, have you been born again? Well, I'm Catholic. I didn't ask you that. I didn't ask you if you were a Jew or a Baptist. I asked you if you've been born again. And you know, some people can't answer that question. Have you been born again? No, but I've been baptized. I didn't ask you about baptism. Have you been born again? I joined the church. I didn't ask you to join the church. Have you been born again? My daddy's a preacher. Didn't ask you that. What's going on here? She can't worship God and see who Jesus is because of the particulars that are being brought up here. And many can't worship God because of particulars. Amen. He's a Jew. She brings up the gender issue. Thou being a Jew, askest drink of me, a woman of Samaria. So he brings up the gender issue. I'm a woman. Amen. Some folks say, well, I don't want to go to that church because your pastor's black. Last time I checked, you're right. But some folks say, I don't want to come. He's going to get up there and start going, well, y'all don't hear me now. We're going to take up another offering today. Pass those plates. How many offerings is that? Five? We need to get six. God told me somebody's holding out this time. Go ahead, strike up the organ. Da-na-na. Go ahead, choir. All right, how many offerings is that? Seven. Some folks don't want to come because I'm black. And they have already had a perception of who and what I am. She said, hey, look, you're a Jew. I'm a woman. Why are you asking me? By the way, now you should be cautious today. There are certain churches like that that are after your money. We are not. You've got to be cautious in this day of accusations. But be spiritual. Jew, gender, geography, Samaria, where you come from? Preacher, you know some people don't want to hear you because you're from North Carolina. He got that North Carolina accent. He from Mississippi. And folk from Mississippi talk like that. Come on, Greg. That's how we talk down in Mississippi. Or you're from up there in New England and all those areas where the Patriots are. They have that uppity talk. And their nose goes up in the air. I'm from Boston. From Maine. Everything we do is right. Or out west, just loose. I'm from the west. Everything goes. Anything goes. Some folks won't listen to you. They have a certain sense of your geography. I've not heard one bad thing about Illinois where I'm from. I haven't heard a good thing either. Folks don't say, well, you're from the Midwest and y'all do this. They don't say that. But West gets a bad rap. I mean, out East gets a bad rap. Down South gets a bad rap. Up North gets a bad rap. With Midwestern folk like me, amen. We just good like that, amen. How many from Illinois? I'm the only good person here. No, I'm picking at y'all, amen. It can be hindered, though, by geography. It can be hindered by gender. It can be hindered by Jew. It can be hindered. By the way, notice this phrase down here. She said this at the end of verse number 9. For the Samaritans, where are we at? Let me read. Then said the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that thou being a Jew, that's the religion, askest drink of me, which said me, woman of Samaria, the gender and geography, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. That phrase, no dealings with the Samaritans, means no communion, no joint usage. You know what that reminds me of? The days of segregation, where the blacks had to go use a separate restaurant or go to the back. The blacks couldn't use the water fountains over here. The blacks couldn't ride in the front of the bus. They had to ride it back. That's the same connotation there. We don't have any joint union together. There's nothing about us that goes together. We're like this and like that. And by the way, we all have the same color blood, and it's sinful. Amen. But what she's saying here is that you're talking to me and Jews don't have any dealings with us. They go all the way around Samaria. But not only are you coming through Samaria, you're asking me, who's not a Jew, for a drink of water, who's a woman, and you're in Samaria. The geography is totally off for you, and you know we don't have any dealings. Folks, it's sad to say there are churches today still that won't have any blacks in them, and they won't have any whites in them. What you see here does not happen all over America. Doesn't happen. I've been in some of them. I walked in there to praise the Lord. They looked at me like I was an intruder. What are you doing here? I come to praise God. Why are you here? I come to honor the Lord. Why are you here? And they'd look at me as if to say, Didn't you miss the church down the road? First Baptist Black Church?
No. I specifically came to this address. Now, unless this is First Baptist Black Church, I didn't make a mistake. And they look at you like, what's he going to do? And then I pick up a hymn book and sing loud. He knows our songs. Then I say, amen. He knows how to say amen. And I dare not get carried away and say, hallelujah, glory to God. They might just fall out and pass out. Oh, he's Pentecostal. He's going to speak in tongues next. But folks, there are churches that bothers them. Why? They come in and they're particulars that they can't get past. We've never had a black person in our church. We've never had an African person in our church. We've never had a white person in our church. We've never had a Hispanic person. We've never had a Chinese person in our church. We've never had this or that. That's in essence what she's saying. You guys don't have any dealings with us whatsoever. And sad to say, many churches are that way. Let me give you this. You can't worship God when you're that way. You can't worship God when you're more concerned about the color of my skin. You can't worship God. You can't worship God when you're concerned about my hairstyle or what earrings I got on or what necklace I got on or what color dress I got on or what color suit I got. Now, I'm speaking for all of us. I know y'all saying, man, earrings and dress. Come on, preacher. Now, you're saying, toeing the line there. I'm speaking in general. When you're so caught up on what people have, what people are doing, or what people look like, you can't worship God. Why? You're seeing people. You're not seeing God. And so you cannot worship him because you're looking at people and it's got nothing to do with the people. It has everything to do with Almighty God. He is worthy of our worship. So we just got those 2 points so far. We'll pick up next week. But the conversation of the Savior, the worship can become predictable for us. She was in a routine. She was in a ritual. She was in a run of the mill, getting water, never expecting to meet with Jesus Christ. We need to expect to meet Jesus when we come here. Her worship was hindered by some particulars. She brought up the Jew issue, the gender issue, the geography issue. We cannot worship when we're thinking about that because that means our focus is on that and not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He will finally get down to the question of worship in spirit and in truth. My question to you is, have you prepared to meet with God today? Have you prepared your heart? Now, I know last week we started with this message and it's something that we normally don't think about because we as preachers, we just expect that you come here to worship and you know how to worship. And ironically, Brother Neil, Brother Watson, a lot of people don't know how. And it's our job to say, hey, you look, you're ignorantly worshiping like in the Athenians. And it's our job to say, look, God is worthy of more. He desires more. Because anytime you come here to worship and you leave the same way you came in, you didn't worship. Because you can't see God and leave the same way you came in. But sometimes our worship is hindered by so much that's going on in our minds and hearts. We can't see God. And we need to see God. Hey, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. The same way Bob bowed his head a couple weeks ago and prayed. He understood he was a sinner. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He understood the wages of sinning was death. All of us need to understand that there's a place that we will spend in eternity for our sins. We have to understand God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says the condemnation came into the world and it passed upon all men for that all have sinned. But my Bible tells me the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's not through baptism. It's not through your church membership. It's not through your affiliation, your heritage, your parentage. It's none of that. It's by repenting of sin, asking Jesus Christ to save you because you're lost on your way to hell. And God wants to save you. Somebody needs to meet with God today in that fashion. I don't know who you are, but you need to meet with him in that way. Christians, perhaps you need to get past some of the particulars of hindrance. Maybe you have to get past some of the other things that are predictable in your worship and saying, this is not the way we go to church. Every time it's going to be special. Every time it's going to be new because God is special. And it's a new experience. I've never lived this day before. Great is thy faithfulness.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we're looking around. Father, I know I've just scratched the surface on the area of worship, but Lord, I want us to be more enlightened. I need to be enlightened as well, Lord. I know sometimes my worship is predictable. Sometimes particulars get in my way. And Lord, we need to hear you with that still, small voice speak to us this morning. Perhaps there's a young man that needs to be saved. Maybe a young lady needs to be saved. Maybe a man, maybe a woman needs to be saved. Maybe a young person needs to be saved. But Lord, whoever it is, help them not to leave with a predictable nature. Help them not to let any particulars hinder them, but help them to see that Jesus Christ loves them and wants to save them. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, how many would be honest here today and say, "Preacher, I've never been born again, and I need to be saved. That the truth be known, if I died, I think I'm going to heaven, but I'm not sure. Would you remember me in your closing prayer?" Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. All across this room, you raise your hand. "I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it, preacher. Would you remember me in your closing prayer?" Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this room. Next question is to Christians then. Christian, has your worship been predictable? This is the way we go to church. Or were you looking for God to do something in your life today? Has your life been filled with particulars? You're looking at everything but God. Jew, gender, geography. Things are bothering you when you come to worship. Or are you looking at God? Check yourself today. Because every time we go up to the house of God, it should be different. Because it's a brand new day. New mercies, new grace. And we can walk in it. Father, bless now this invitation. Maybe some Christians need to move from their seats today. Come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, "The particulars have been bothering me." Maybe a Christian needs to come and say, "Lord, I've been so predictable. Just routinely coming, run-of-the-mill coming, ritual coming, just because I know I'm supposed to come. I need to come in fresh. I need to come in revived. I need to come in new." Lord, speak to those hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are still bowed and eyes are closed as Miss Natasha plays the invitation. Perhaps you need to come to the altar. And I'm not talking about looking around to see who's coming. I'm talking about you coming yourself with your eyes down to the ground, coming in humility before Almighty God. You're saying, "God, work in my heart. Lord, I've seen the particulars too much. I've seen the religious people. I've seen the genders. I've seen the geography of people. And Lord, I'm hindered by these particulars." Or perhaps you've been predictable. "Lord, it's been too predictable. It's been predictable. This is the way we go to church. We've always done it this way. We always sit there. We always sing that way." Or perhaps maybe Jesus Christ wants to give you a new view today. And this is not the way we do it. Maybe God needs to speak to your heart today. Would you come? Don't let the devil hold you back saying, "Well, I know what the preacher's saying, but I'm not going to come because somebody may say something." No, don't worry about people. That's what we're talking about. Those are those particulars. Don't worry about the people. Don't worry about the place. Just worry about prostrating yourself in front of God. Falling down to worship Him and saying, "God, work in my life. Work in my heart. Stir me again, Lord. I don't want worship to be predictable. I don't want worship to have me looking at particulars. I want to look at Almighty God." Maybe you need to come today. Man, woman, boy, or girl, would you come? "Preacher, I don't need to be saved." Maybe you need to be baptized. Would you come? Doors are open. Would you come? "Preacher, I'm surrendering to baptism. I'm born again. I'm saved. But I've never been scripturally baptized." Would you come? We'll wait. Would you come? God spoke to your heart. Don't put it off. Maybe you say, "Preacher, I'm scripturally saved, scripturally baptized. I need to join this church." Well, I couldn't think of a better church to join than this one. God is seeking for people to worship Him in spirit and truth. And here at Shining Light, we desire to do that. I'm not going to say we're perfect. I'm not going to say we've arrived. But we desire to worship in spirit and truth. We desire to do that. Maybe you need to come and join this local church. Perhaps God has called you to a specific ministry. Heard in Sunday school this morning, Pastor Neil's talking about people being called to ministry. Maybe called to go and be a missionary. Maybe to give of yourself. Maybe to surrender whatever it is that God would have you to do. And maybe as a Christian, you need to come and surrender. Say, God, whatever you'd have me to do, I'll do it. Hey, folks, that's not predictable. The day I surrendered to preach, it was not predictable. I was not planning to surrender to preach. But God called me. In order to be in His perfect will, I must needs surrender. Worship. The Father seeketh such to worship Him, the Bible says. Father, thank You that You are a spirit. And those that worship You must worship You in spirit and truth. Thank You so much for Jesus taking His time out to go to a neglected area called Samaria. Thank You for taking time to come and reach me and my wife February 3rd, 1991, that we might be saved. And Lord, thank You that it was nothing predictable about the day that my wife and I met You for salvation. And thank You that You desire for us to worship You in spirit and in truth. And Lord, I pray that no one will leave here today in a predictable fashion. They will leave here saying, it's been good to be in God's house, and God, You want to work something new in my life. You're working something different, and I'm leaving differently than when I came in. Lord, may we put aside the particulars, whether it's about being a Jew or the gender of someone or the geography where they're from. Let nothing stop us from leaving differently than when we came in. Thank You for ministering to us and through us. Thank You for meeting our need. God, help us each time that we come here. Help each time to be a special time. Lord, whether it's Sunday morning school, Sunday a.m., Sunday night, or Wednesday, may each time be a different time that's not predictable, but expecting us to see the impossible, expecting us to see You work marvelous miracles in our midst. Every salvation decision is a miracle of God. Thank You for loving us, Lord. Help us to leave differently than we came in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor White is going to come with our announcements. Pastor White, if you would.